Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the TerraGo podcast series. TerraGo recently released a new research paper titled Breakthrough Tech, Smartphone Apps Poised to Take Market Share from GPS Surveying Handsets. And the paper examines recent innovations that are disrupting GPS surveying technology markets across numerous industries, including energy, utilities, manufacturing, transportation, logistics, construction, and agriculture. Today, we're actually speaking with the author of this paper, Mr. Jim Hodges. Jim is an award-winning journalist and is a well-known expert in the geospatial arena who writes about these topics quite often for many magazines. And Jim, how are you doing today?
Doing fine, Matt. Yourself?
Doing great. Thanks for joining us. I'm really excited to be speaking with you today about this topic. This is a very interesting research paper that really hits on some very interesting points. And I want to start at the top. And can you explain what you mean by disruptive technology? That seems to be a pretty common theme in this paper.
It probably should be. Matt, disruptive technology is probably as old as the wheel, but it actually got a name in 1995 when a Harvard Business School professor, Clayton Christensen, wrote a book called The Innovative Dilemma and defined the concept. Basically, disruptive innovation spawns a new market, generally by disrupting an old one. For example, Alexander Graham Bell gave us an opportunity to speak to each other in real time, exchanging in dialogue with someone on the other end of the line, and the telegraph couldn't do that. So it quickly lost market share, and eventually it became a medium for sending money. I mean, the car supplanted the horse and buggy and put a dent in the railroads for long-distance travel. Digital photography has almost completely replaced film. And the electric light, Thomas Edison turned the candle into a quaint decoration, at least during, except for hurricane seasons. There are thousands, millions of others, but I think you get the idea.
Very much so. That's amazing, Jim. Yeah, it's so true. There's so many examples, and it seems like modern-day examples keep happening at a rapid clip, which brings me right to my next question here is, how did the smartphone become a disruptive technology? Because I know that's a big part of your article as well.
Well, the smartphone is an interesting concept because it's become a disruptive technology in a lot of ways. For example, first it was a cell phone, and that turns a landline into history for a lot of people. And then smartphones became smarter. They added internet capability, and shortly thereafter, a lot of people quit buying personal computers, preferring to handle their email and their internet on the same device they used to call home. Smartphones got smarter still, added photography and still pictures, and that made the digital cameras redundant, although the digital cameras are fighting back now with the addition of GPS capability. But still, just a couple of months ago, photographer David Hume Kennerly, who had been a Pulitzer Prize-winning photographer, wrote a book on using the iPhone camera. So when's the last time you've seen a millennial with a wristwatch? I mean, I heard a story of a man recently. You asked his 20-something daughter why she never wore one, and she said that she had no use for single-purpose devices anymore. So the smartphone kept getting smarter, and in 2007 added GPS capability to the iPhone 3, that's the Apple device, and, of course, Android devices also added GPS. And so all of a sudden there's a market for location-based applications once the devices were tested to see how good that capability was. Now, that was, again, in 2007. In 2008, Apple had its typically grand rollout to announce the iPhone 4 would have a map capability. That day, before sundown that day, one prominent GPS device manufacturer lost 10% of its company value in the stock market. That company has since lost 60% more of its value. So now you've got 58% of American adults own smartphones and another 42% own tablet computers, and they're part of this story too. There are 2 billion smartphones around the world, and it's predicted that the number is going to grow to 6 billion by the end of this decade. And that's what we're talking, 5 years off. Apple sells 378,000 iPhones a day. There are 371,000 babies born every day. A little perspective there. Yeah, I'd be hard pressed to think of any technology that's been more disruptive as a smartphone.
That's amazing, Jim. And to add to those numbers, this year we're getting my twin daughter's iPhone. So they're being thrown into the mix and bumping these numbers up even higher, and which is so funny. And it's very common with many people with children that they even start younger with these innovations. And, you know, to get back to the core of this article, you talk a lot about smartphone and GPS applications. But I guess the million-dollar question is, how good is smartphone GPS?
Well, you know, Matt, it was good from the beginning, and it's gotten steadily better. You know, as soon as the iPhone 3 and Android folks added GPS, geographers immediately challenged them, testing their capabilities. And one prominent test was in New Mexico. It indicated the smartphone GPS accuracy was within 8 meters of that of dedicated GPS devices. Now, people began to take notice then. And some of those people are business owners and business managers who are paying a lot of money for GPS devices. And since that time, smartphone GPS has improved to a point where a 2013 test by Esri indicated it was within 1 meter accuracy 99% of the time. Now, that improvement's been driven by technology advances in the phone's GPS antenna and by the addition of the Russian GLONASS navigation satellites to the U.S. GPS constellation. You've got Galileo and, you know, Europe's Galileo constellation and China's Beidou coming by the end of the decade, which is only going to help smartphones get better. At the end of the decade, you'll have between 80 and 90 satellites orbiting and being used as reference points in space. Along with that, you've got survey application developers like Terrago, Fastfield. They've spurred GPS capability. Cloud-based maps and imagery have gotten better, and they keep getting better. And also the constant upgrades that these companies and the smartphone manufacturers are using as part of the smartphone phenomena. Upgrades in imagery and maps are ongoing constantly, and it makes these phones more versatile than dedicated devices because their upgrades are done periodically, and their operating systems are pretty are pretty antiquated in some cases. Just to give you a sense of impact of all of this, a recent survey indicated location-based technology has an estimated $1.6 trillion of impact on the U.S. economy alone every year, and smartphones are carrying the load on that.
Wow, some amazing insights. Well, I guess the perfect add-on question to that is, how can it be made better in terms of smartphone GPS, that is?
Well, there's one thing that's worked extremely well, and that's tethering the smartphone with a Bluetooth GPS receivers like a Bad Elf or SXB Blue or EOS, just to name three of them. That enables positive lock to become quicker, and GPS accuracy then becomes closer to inside the 1 meter, sometimes even to the centimeter level. And that's the grail.
Wow.
That's getting as close as you can get to the dedicated devices that can cost you, up to $10,000 a piece, I suppose. Now, remember, you're doing this for a fraction of the cost, too, of the proprietary receiver, and with minimal training time. Remember those 2 billion smartphone users, including your daughters, coming up, and they're going to grow to 6 billion by 2020. Well, these smartphones have an average of 41 apps on each, and about 75% of those apps are location-based. So by using the smartphone in the field, as an increasing number of companies are doing with this a concept called BYOD, which is bring your own device, or CYOD, which is choose your own device when companies will pay for that, you've got a workforce that's already trained and experienced in GPS fundamentals, as opposed to having to spend, you know, thousands of dollars to train these folks to use a dedicated device. The net in all this, and remember, we're in a return on investment era in which that becomes increasingly important, the net cost savings can be as much as 95%. And even with that, productivity gains have been measured. Gains, for example, with the BYOD, bring your own device, have been increased up to 5%. The CYOD, productivity gains can go up to 9%. That makes them a pretty good deal.
Yeah, that's a really interesting point, especially about the pricing, too, the interesting stuff. So for my last question here is, what questions do organizations need to ask to determine what GPS data collection tools they need?
Well, they need to start with this given. You know, some industries require the kind of accuracy that smartphone lash-up still can't provide all the time, although it's getting closer. For example, now if you're surveying a construction site for a new shopping mall, you're probably going to need a device that's going to measure within a centimeter. But if you're determining whether you even need the mall and where it should be, measuring customer flow and access and egress routes and customer origin, smartphone is great for that. You know, let's say you're an oil company running a pipeline. You got limited easements and strategically placed valves to monitor flow. And then you're probably going to want a GPS device as accurate as you can get. But when you're sending a field crew out to service that valve, smartphone GPS can be your answer. So basically, your organization's got to answer two questions. The first one is, what accuracy do I need to meet the requirements of my project? And the second is, what device will provide that accuracy as efficiently and economically as possible? And those two things, after you've answered those two things, you go out and do what you need to do for buying the technology. Just like with anything else on your project, you have to do your homework. You have to do research. So, and fortunately, there's plenty of advice available online and with companies that sell and service these products. So good luck.
That's great, Jim. Thank you so much for your time today. Before we sign off, is there anything else you'd like to add? Anything we missed today?
Well, Matt, I think we covered it pretty well. It's something that's still nascent. You got to remember, we're only 8 years into the GPS smartphone revolution. So many things are happening. Every year, I guess. Example, Apple comes up with another device that has another capability that improves on its own capability. So this is something that's just getting started. It's going to be fun to watch for the next several years.
I agree. It's going to be a lot of fun to watch. And thank you for your time. And for all of our listeners, you just heard a TerraGo podcast interview with Jim Hodges, who is the author of a new research paper titled Breakthrough Tech, Smartphone Apps Poised to Take Market Share from GPS Surveying Handsets. And Jim, thank you so much for your time today.
Matt, thank you. Thanks for the opportunity.
Sure thing. Take care.
All right.